But what is the how? How do we become a part of this new kingdom and live well? What are the lattices for us in 2024 that we can apply to our lives this year so that we can live well for God? That we don't become like branches which should be just discarded and thrown away. Remember, I'm not using that analogy directly because of the context is very clear about the Old Testament and about the Old Kingdom. But we don't really want to be branches like that as well. Who wants to be a dried up branch, right? No one wants to be a dried up branch. And just like here, this picture, you know, this picture from Ezekiel, going off track here, but this picture of Ezekiel is like a vine that is growing in a forest, right? Without any care. It's just doing its own thing. And what do you think of, it's saying basically, can a vine outcompete the big trees? Can it? No, it can't. So generally, those vines would mostly just creep around on the ground, not very high, not very successful. They're useless, absolutely useless. We don't want to be useless, hey, for God's kingdom. We want to be latticed on the truth. So how do we be these faithful and fruitful followers of Jesus? What does it mean to be a part of his kingdom? So I'm going to refer here to verse 7. So go with me to verse 7, and these will be my three closing points and main points for today. In verse 7, Jesus says the big word, if, right? If you, okay? So we should sit up when we see those words, if you, okay? It means you've got an option. You've got a choice. You and I have a choice, all right? It's like I said to Joel, would you like to clean the dishes? Would you like to clean your room, okay? I don't give him much of a choice, okay, all right. It's not like, do you want to play video games or do you want to clean your room? It's like, folks, you got to be strategic, okay, all right. Make them feel like they're in control, okay, all right. Make them feel like they're in control. I always say, you're in charge, Joel, you're in charge. Do you want to clean the room or do you want to clean the dishes? Yeah, anyway. So in this, Jesus is giving us an option. If you, what are the three things? Verse 7, if you abide in me, one, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So these are the lattices for today. Abiding with Jesus is to be with Jesus, number one. To abide with him is to be with him. All right. And where does this start? Abiding starts with believing. Abiding starts with believing. You can't abide with Jesus if you don't believe in Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus to abide with him. Otherwise, it's pointless. You're fooling yourself by sitting here if you're sitting and you don't believe in Jesus. You're not abiding. And you know what's going to happen? In a few weeks or a few months or whatever, you're going to disappear. Because you're not abiding with Jesus. It starts with believing in him. Jesus has an interaction with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, you're a great man of God. Jesus reads straight through him. He knows what Nicodemus needs to hear. Jesus is not up for the compliments. He says, Nicodemus, truly I tell you, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you will not see it. All right? And this is a teacher. This is one of the leaders in the church. Nicodemus says, well, how can this be, Lord? How can this be? How do I get born again physically? And Jesus is like, don't you understand? Truly, I tell you, unless you're born of the water, and of the Spirit, in other words, a new birth, a new type of birth, not a natural birth, but born spiritually again, you will never, he says, enter the kingdom of heaven. You will never see it unless you're born again. Unless you're born of the Spirit and of water, you will never enter it. This is a leader, like I said. And later in that section, Jesus gives the detail. That once upon a time, back in the time of Moses, Moses lifted up a bronze snake on a pole to stop a pestilence of vipers who were killing the people with their poisons, the snakes. And it was an image of Jesus being lifted up one day. The same thing. And he says to him, Nicodemus, you will know the story. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. But you will know the story, Nicodemus, that in order to be born again and to be washed clean of your sin, there's that word clean, hey? If you wash clean of your sin, you have to look on the Son who was lifted up for you and who died for you, and then you will be born again. I think sometimes, as believers even, we can live like we're unbelieving. We can live unbelieving lives as believers. And we too need the power and the strength to be able to be believers even when we are believers. All right? And so sometimes in our unbelief, we need to come to the Lord. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Because I'm not believing in you. I don't believe in your goodness sometimes. I don't believe. You can be honest with God. He can take it. But sometimes we can be like that. And we can stray. And sometimes we can feel far from God. The exhortation here is to be with Jesus. If you've not given your life to Jesus, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to ask you to meet with us, with Doug or I or Harvey, so we can pray with you. This is your opportunity. You don't know, this is not coercive, but you don't know what's going to happen when you leave this building. And if this is your time, and God is saying, give your life to me, then give your life to him. This is your moment. This is your time to abide with God. The second thing I want to say about abiding is it develops through practicing the presence of Jesus. So practicing the presence of Jesus, we've been working a lot on John Mark Comer's work, or with John Mark Comer's work. He's a fantastic guy who's given his life over, was a pastor, now is NGO work, still with churches, trying to help churches and Christians to really live lives which are fully abiding in Jesus. So helping them with the practices that will help them to follow Jesus well. In his one of his introductory sermons on this, he speaks about what is a disciple or what is a follower. Another word is apprentice, to apprentice in Jesus. But in the days of Jesus, there were these rabbis, right? And as you worked your way up as a youngster, as you learned the scriptures, you could be selected into a rabbi school. You would then be attached to a rabbi, okay? And you would follow this rabbi if you were selected. And this rabbis were generally quite itinerant, so they would walk around and they would preach in the synagogues and things like that. And you would follow your rabbi from place to place. And as you went with them, you learned what they did, and you tried to do what they did as well. But you followed and you tried to follow closely. So one of the blessings that they would impart on their followers or people who were entering these schools is, may the dust, this is from John Mark Comer, may the dust of your rabbi fall on you. Will be on you. May you be covered, in fact, with the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered with the dust of your rabbi. Can you be covered with the dust of your rabbi if you're 2 km behind? No, I don't think so. How do you get covered with the dust on the dust of your rabbi as he's walking, he's lifting dust behind him? You're close. You're close. And so practicing these practices are important. We as a church have done the Sabbath practice. For us as the Shuttleworth family, we've been trying the Sabbath practice. It's basically taking 24 hours at some stage to really switch your phones, to delight in each other, and to make space for God. And it's been really transformational. It's a practice of getting closer to Jesus. Other ones are prayers, a practice of getting closer to Jesus. This year, through John Mark Comer's work, we're going to do the practice of fasting and the practice of solitude. All of these are great things that we can do to get closer to Jesus. I want to be covered in the dust of Jesus, so that I can be more like him. And then finally, you know, abiding is secured in love. So in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, though you do not see him, you love him. Then, to my point about earlier about believing, we can also believe, but not be fully alert to, or fully in the knowledge of, or fully transformed by the knowledge of the love of God. And so, again, those practices that I mentioned to them, and even mentioned to you and like attending church, is just a practice. Okay, that is not the end goal. The end goal is not to do Sabbath and say, yes, I've ticked Sabbath. I've done fasting, tick fasting. I'm a good person. I've done whatever, prayer, tick, I've done prayer. What is the purpose of the practices? The purpose of the practice is to be with Jesus. Why? Because you love Jesus. Why? Because he loves you. So another thing that came up at our elders' retreat, and also another revelation given to Heath, was that we as a church need a fuller revelation of the finished work of Jesus. Sometimes we can live like actually what Jesus accomplished on the cross and the sacrifice on the cross was actually not enough. That we live in such a way that we don't fully believe that we are saved and that we are different and that we are new. And as long as you live like that, in a half-love space, you will never follow Jesus fully. It's love has to be the motivation, not the doing. Otherwise, we are legalistic space, and we don't want to be a legalistic space. I'm going to go a little bit quicker, and now as we go into the last two things. So abiding is the first. The second thing is abiding, may His word abide in us. So if we want this year to be well-latticed, we need to have the word abiding in us. So His word abiding us from verse 7. So this is more to become like Jesus, to become like Jesus. If I had to use this vine as an example, or this amazing wild fig from Brazil over here. This is not a wild fig from Brazil. It's plastic from Taiwan. But if you had to look at any branches, right, on trees, as they get older and have spent more time within the stem, the branches begin to look like the stem, right? Have you seen that? Okay. So these tendrils, as they grow out, they look nothing like the main part of the stem. But if left for years to come, supplied with the power or the sap coming from the vine or the main stem, these will grow into something that resembles the main stem, right? Likewise, Jesus is saying, let my words abide in you so that you can be like me. And over time, the transformative power of His word in your life will change you. There was a study, and I did check this up. Alana warned me, don't ever refer to studies unless you've double-checked. But the Center for Bible Engagement did a study on people from 8 to 80 years old. It was a long-term study with various age groups, various people from various sectors of life, and various creeds and so forth. And the study proved the following, that for people who read their Bible for four times or more in a week, it transformed their lives so much that there was a reduction in destructive behaviors such as watching pornography, sexual immorality, drunkenness, anger, bitterness. And we're not talking like 10%. We're talking like 40% reduction, 50% reduction. In some cases, even sharing the gospel was 230-odd% more likely if you read your Bible four times a week or more. Interestingly, if you read your Bible three times or less, it made no difference if you read your Bible three times or none. There was no significant impact on the lives of the people. All right. We've got to be careful of legalism here, and it is a study, and you've got to cross-check studies against other studies and so forth and so on. But we know the transformative power of the Word of God. It is there for us to transform and to become more like Jesus, like the branches becoming like the stem. So how do we read God's Word? How do we spend time in God's Word? One, we read the Bible. Lauren has started a great series on the Bible in 1 year. You can join that group. It's a great way to be accountable and to learn with each other. Secondly, you meditate on God's word. In other words, you ask the Lord, Lord, will you reveal to me what is in your word? And I would highly recommend that you use a highlighter. Well done, Nathan. I saw in your Bible a whole lot of highlighting, because it's a time where he's reading and the Lord is saying, this is a highlight for you. And then you should take that scripture and pray into that scripture as you're doing your quiet time. The third thing is study the Bible. We need experts to help us to understand it. So there are many, many different resources that you could use. And lastly, try and memorize it. I'm useless at memorizing stuff, particularly like words. I'm not very good at that, but I'm trying. And so an easy way of doing it, and is in all these journals that you get, so if you're journaling and if you are a journaler, usually at the bottom of the page, this is not a journal, by the way, but if you do have a journal, at the bottom of the page, they have a verse. And just try and memorize that one verse in a day, like once a day if you can. That would be my recommendation. The power of memorizing is amazing. I'm reading a book called The Heavenly Man. It's about a guy, Brother Yun, and he was in the Chinese underground church, and was, yeah, it's an amazing story about how God worked through his life. But as being in China, they weren't allowed to have Bibles, and so when he did get a Bible through a miracle, he memorized it because he knew his Bible would be taken away, he would have to give it away. And so he memorized the Bible. Amazing. So when God said to him, go and preach, he went and rocked up to his first preaching appointment. He's like 16 years old. He's like, doesn't even know what preaching is. So what did he do? He just recited the whole of Matthew. From chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 28. Just recited the whole thing. And people were like, changed. He didn't know about preaching. Maybe we should try that next time. Okay, whoever's preaching, Stephen, you next. Eh? Can you just recite? Okay, awesome. Okay. So it has power, right? So Jesus is our example, and Brother Yun, in fact, is almost the same example. Jesus, 12 years old, he knows the scriptures. He rocks up to the synagogue. What does he do? He's teaching the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. He's teaching it. What is the Bible good for? Why is it good for you? It teaches you. It's good for correcting and rebuking and guiding you. What else is it good for? Jesus, a little bit later, just before his ministry, where is he? He's in the desert. He is challenged by Satan. All right, what does he do? He uses scripture to rebuke Satan, right? And then in his ministry throughout, he is reciting scripture all the time. Even what we read today from John chapter 15 was from Isaiah. And so he's reciting scriptures in different ways. And what is that good for? It's good for formation. It's good for your formation. I love Levi Lasko. He's a great pastor in America. But anyway, there's a short teaching that he gave on do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the power of your mind. And he said there's these colloquial sayings, like the story of my life is his worst one. It's like you're going with your shopping bag, and then all your stuff falls out the bottom of the shopping bag. And it's like, oh, it's the story of my life. It's the story of my life, you know. And he's saying, well, actually, no, it's not the story of your life. The story of your life is here. Here's the story of your life if you follow Jesus. So you need to know the story of your life. Because if you read this, you'll get a new picture of your life and who you are in Christ. So let's close with this. And the last point is Jesus says, then you may ask whatever you, in verse 7, and then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. So there's context to this as well. And so why don't you just go a little bit ahead to verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go out and bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All right, do you see the context? Jesus is saying, delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart to go out and be an impact for the world. Delight in me, abide in me, have my word in you, and then you will know my will, you will go out into the world, and then you can ask whatever you wish in my name, and I will give it to you. Why? So that God is glorified and we produce a fruit. I love the part where it says, you did not choose me, I chose you. You are chosen. If you're a believer sitting here today, you are chosen. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I love that. It always broke my heart as a PE teacher, where it's like you'd say, okay, pick teams. And like, you know, the one guy's not picked. Actually, right? That's horrible, hey? Well, actually, you are chosen. You are chosen. But not for nothing. You're not chosen so you can just be yourself and just get on with your happy life. You are chosen and, what did it say? Chosen and? Appointed. Appointed. What does appointed mean? It means you've been given orders. You've been given standing orders from your superior officer to go and be a light into the world. It's not so that you can live your own life. It's so that you can go out and make a difference for God and the world. You are appointed. You're appointed also means that you're appointed within the gifts that God has given you. Your appointment, Pete, is different to my appointment. I don't want to be like Pete. Pete mustn't want to be like me. He's given Pete things to do on this earth while he is here, which will glorify God and produce fruit. And he's given me different things to do while I'm here on earth, and different gifts so that I can employ those and do things here while I'm on earth. And I want one day to get to heaven and for the Lord to say to me and to you, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you your appointment and you followed my orders. You followed my commands. Now go out and do those. Let us close now with a time of prayer. Amen. Amen to the word of the Lord. What are the lattices? What are the lattices for living in 2024? Abide with Jesus. Have his word abide in you. And go and do what you've been appointed to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is so rich and powerful to transform. But Lord, without the power of your spirit and without your moving, it's very difficult for us to change. We want to be followers that abide with you, that are covered in the dust of their rabbi, covered in the dust of Jesus. We want to be people who are full of your word. And we want to be people who know the appointment and then execute the task that you've given us to do. Just like Doug had mentioned at the beginning of the service from Ephesians, Lord, you've given us things to do. Father, give us the wisdom and the power and the knowledge and the discernment to live well for you, we pray. We humbly submit to you. And we say, Lord, be the Lord of our lives. Show us the way we should go. Show us the task that you want us to do. And help us to live well for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I said at the beginning, if you want prayer at the end, we would love to pray for you. If you're feeling like you want to give your life to the Lord today, don't miss your opportunity. Thanks very much.